Well,
we've been talking about our theme, God's sovereignty. Pointed out that that's not a word that we use very often. And because we don't talk about sovereignty, it's sometimes kind of hard for us to understand exactly what that means. Well, we talked a little bit about that, but one of the things that a lot of people have to say about sovereignty is that because God is sovereign, that means that you don't have a choice about what you're going to do. We talk about it in terms of man's free will, and we say God's sovereignty trumps man's free will. God will decide what's going to happen, and really all that you can do is just accept that God is sovereign. So this morning I want to begin thinking about man's free will as it relates to God's sovereignty, and we'll start by thinking about God's call to men. Why is it that some folks believe and others don't? Is it because God determines that you're going to believe, Bill's going to believe, and on the other hand, Bob is not? Is that what's going on, or is it something else? So we'll begin this morning in the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter. It's a passage that we don't often read, but I think it's an important passage. As we've read it in the past, we tend to focus on a part of this, but we miss some of the other parts. In Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 18, this is what happens. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, all the miracles that Jesus was doing, the wonderful works, the things that he was saying. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord and said, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" When the men had come to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour, he healed, Jesus did, many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. He answered those two men, and he said, "Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who's not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see?" This was a reference to the fact that John had been preaching in the wilderness and many had gone out to listen to him. "Did you go see a reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those who are born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who's least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard this, the tax collectors, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To whom then shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace calling to one another, who played the flute for you and you did not dance, who sang a dirge and you did not weep. John the Baptist has come eating no bread, drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Wisdom is justified by all her children. Some people listened to John. Some people didn't. And so John sent to Jesus. He said, are you the one that we've been waiting for all this time? Are you the one who was to come after me? Understand, John is in prison. He's soon going to be executed. This is a question that no doubt troubled him. And he put the question to Jesus. He went to the source. And Jesus, when he hears the question, defends John. He said to the people, what did you go out to see? He asked this question three times. Did you go out to see a reed shaken with the wind? Did you go out to see something that had no real purpose? Just a reed that was shaken by the wind? Did you go out to see a man who was dressed in fine clothes? No, he didn't go out to see that. They didn't go out to see that. John didn't wear a suit. John didn't even wear Dockers. John wore a hair shirt. Did you go out to see a prophet? Yes. You went out in the wilderness because you heard that there was a prophet there. Let's think a little bit about the greatness of John. Most of Jesus' disciples had been disciples of John the Baptist. They had listened to what John said, and John had prepared the way for Jesus. And Jesus says that John fulfilled Old Testament prophecy, that he was, in fact, the messenger that was sent ahead to prepare the way of the Lord. A prophecy that was given in Malachi, the third chapter, and at verse 1, that all the people were familiar with. Among those born of women, there is no one who is greater than John. But in retrospect, those people who believed in Jesus, those people in the kingdom, greater than John, they get to enjoy more blessings. That's exactly what Mark was talking about this morning. As great as John was, he didn't get to see Jesus' sacrifice. Why? Because he was killed. So now the question is, what did the crowd think when they watched all of these things that were going on? You have the tax collectors as representative of one group, humble people who had come and they were around Jesus. And then you have the Pharisees and the scribes, the lawyers. They're representative of another group that was around Jesus. The tax collectors, they were hated. They were despised. Nobody liked the tax collector, but the tax collectors acknowledged God's justice when they heard that. This is the key word. They vindicated or they justify God and his plan. Why? They believed it. They believed it. And they have been baptized by John. Then there's the Pharisees and the lawyers, on the other hand. They reject everything that God had said with John the Baptist. And they too validate God's plan. They weren't forced to reject it. They chose to reject it. And it vindicated God and his sovereignty. John was, after all, God's prophet. He was telling the people what God wanted them to know. Some people believed him, some people didn't. So Jesus tries to come up with a comparison, something we can understand. Jesus looks for an appropriate comparison. He says, these people that had rejected God's plan, they're like children sitting in the marketplace calling out one to another. We're all familiar with it. One group of children is calling out to another group to play a game. The invited group doesn't want to go along with the game. And it doesn't really matter whether the game is a joyful one or it's a dirge, a funeral procession. I've never seen kids play a game of a funeral procession. But I suppose that they do. I've never seen anything in our country like the funeral processions that you see in the Middle East. And that's probably more reflective of what Jesus was thinking about. No matter what game was proposed, whether it was a great good time, hide and seek, cops and robbers, doesn't matter what it was, they weren't going to play. No matter what game is proposed, they're just not going to listen. So, what's the point? Some of Jesus' contemporaries, the self-appointed elite, weren't going to comply with God's message no matter what the message was. It didn't make any difference. They decided they weren't going to participate. And look at what they did. They accused John of being an ascetic, being antisocial. Jesus comes along and he eats and drinks the way normal people do. And they said, oh, he's just a glutton. They rejected Jesus. Personality and style doesn't have anything to do with the message. It's just outward packaging. It makes no difference. Some people are just not going to listen. They just don't want to know. But he says in verse 35, and this is important, he says, wisdom is justified by all her children. The word justified is the same word that's used in verse 29, where he says that it's that the humble people, the tax collectors, they vindicated God. They accepted God. And they knew that God was just. And then there's the spoiled brats, the publicans, not the publicans, the Pharisees, I'll get it right, Pharisees and the lawyers. And you know what? Their refusal also vindicated God. God sent a message. Some people listened, some people didn't. And both of those groups help us understand that God was right in sending the message. And it continues today. No matter what Jesus said, some people are going to listen, some people are not. Is that because God said you're going to listen and you're not going to listen? Or is it because people just didn't want to have anything to do with it? And yes, God knew that. He recognized it. This is not news to God. He is sovereign. Not that he causes, but that he sent a message. That's what matters. Does it bother you that some people listen and some people don't? It bothers me. And I think, what could I do to encourage people to listen? Most of the time, not a thing. Most of the time, not a thing. Some people listen, some people don't. That's because they made up their mind. Well, God's message is still there, and he still wants us to come to know Jesus. He still wants to bless us with salvation. And if you want to put on Jesus, we want to help you. That's what we're here for. What we want to always be thinking about. So if we can help you put on Jesus in baptism, let us know. That's what we're here for.